All right. So, if anyone didn't bring their Bibles, come up and get one out of this gray box. And if you get one of those New Testament-only Bibles, it's okay. We're only using the New Testament today. Okay, that's all the Bibles. All right. So you guys can open up to Galatians chapter 5 in the New Testament. It's not a very long chapter. If I spelled it wrong, I don't care.
I can't tell.
Oh my gosh. I called you Joe.
I look like Joe, it's fine. He'll make a mistake all the time. Galatians chapter 5. Okay, well, someone read into the microphone verses 1 through 6. And then people read along. Who'll read Galatians chapter 5 verses 1 through 6? What translation is that?
KJV.
I want a modern English translation. Sam? No offense.
Okay, I have an IV too.
I told him, I'll let you read it.
First 1 through 6.
Christ has set us free. He wants us to enjoy freedom. So stand firm. Don't let the chains of slavery hold you again. Here's what I, Paul, say to you. Don't let yourselves be circumcised. If you do, Christ will believe any value to you. I say it again. Every man who lets himself be circumcised must obey the whole law. Some of you are trying to be made right with God by obeying the law. You have been separated from Christ. You have fallen away from God's but we expect to be made completely holy because of the faith of Christ through the Holy Spirit.
Thanks. Awesome. Okay, so just to still some of your fears, there's probably a few guys in here that are thinking to themselves, oh no, I'm circumcised. What am I going to do? I must be in trouble. What is Paul talking about here? Does anyone know what's going on? What?
It's saying that was kind of the same kind
of. Yeah, that's a really good summation. So, what's going on here in Galatia? Thanks, Galatia. Excellent. So, what's going on here is that there are these Jewish guys. They're like, okay, so Christ is real. But if you want to follow him, you need to be circumcised and follow the law. Jesus was circumcised, he's a Jew. If you want to be in a relationship with Christ, you have faith in him and love and all that stuff. But you also need to be circumcised and follow the whole law. The Jewish law. So, does anyone see anything wrong with that? Yeah. It's not what the gospel of Christ is. In the Old Testament, they followed the law. But then Christ fulfilled the law. And what the Jews were doing was they were adding to the gospel. They're saying, look, you have to do that. You have to believe. You have to have faith in Christ. And as soon as there's that and, that's where you get in trouble. But you have faith through love and something else. That and is changing what Christ, the apostles and Christ are saying, this is what you need to be saved. And the Jews are saying, yeah, that. And also you have to do this or you're not saved. And Paul's like, that's ridiculous. So this is how I always think about it. I always think of God's law as this field in my head. I'm going to put his will. This is how God wants us to live. I'm not just talking about the Pentateuch or the first five books of the Bible and that law. I'm just saying, like, this is how God wants us to live. And he talks about it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. What his intentions were. But whenever I think of, like, the Jewish leaders at this time and whenever Jesus came, they have, like, their own set of rules. And I view it like this fence. It's like this. I'm just going to call it religion. Okay? And they're saying, like, look, this is the Jewish religion. Okay? You follow all these rules, and that's how you're saved. You guys, for those of you who have spent some time looking at the Gospels, you know that the Jewish leaders and Jesus came up with each other a lot. Do you guys remember that? They're like, what are you doing? There's this rule, because there's this idea of the Sabbath. It's called the Sab, so I don't misspell it. And they're like, okay, this is what the Sabbath is. It's in God's will that we keep the Sabbath day holy, right? So, they're like, don't work. God's like, yeah, it's great. Keep it holy. Keep it between us. And then they're just like, oh, there's this guy who needs to be healed. And Jesus is like, oh, yeah, boom, you're healed on the Sabbath. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's outside. That is outside our fence. But that's what God, it doesn't mean that's not what God wants. It was outside the fence. Does that make sense? Like, this is what they saw religion as, and that Jesus was something outside of that. And they're like, that is not God. But the problem is, these sets of rules they have. But look, look how much it overlaps. Look how much good they do. Is that good enough?
You want to be a good people as well.
Yeah. This is what God wants for us. And it doesn't matter how much they overlap. If his eyes aren't the prize, it doesn't matter. Does that make sense? Let me put this, because some of you are like, I don't know exactly how this relates to me. And it really does, but let me give you another example. There's, I think, good enough. There's this idea of good enough. Like, look, I'm a Christian. I don't do any of the bad things. I haven't murdered anybody. I have no drugs. No rock and roll. I'm kidding. It's okay. It's rock and roll right here. So, like, I'm a good Christian. Look at all these things I don't do. That's the line right here. The line is what I don't do and do do. He said do do. Hilarious. So, and that's what the line is. But no, this is the line right here. See, the thing is that the Pharisees, and even us, like sometimes we focus on, this is, I would call this focusing on the flesh. Remember what Joe was talking about last week? The flesh versus the spirit? Like, this is where the spirit works right here. And the thing is whenever our sense of right and wrong is judged by our flesh, this is what it looks like. Yeah, it has some overlap. But really, what are these guys after? The Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, these religions, like being good enough? They're after justification. We see it all the time in our own lives, whether you know it or not. Like, in chapter 6, they say, like, look, these people that were saying all this stuff, like, you have to follow the law and be circumcised to be saved. If you haven't done that, your faith in Jesus doesn't mean anything. Paul says, if you follow their lies, you don't even have a relationship with Christ. Like, Christ, the value of Christ is nothing to you. The problem is, so yeah, chapter 6, it says, these people, they don't even follow the law. They don't follow the law as God intended it, even then. And the reason why they try to trick you is so they can boast in your flesh. Boast in your flesh. What this is talking about is this. Let's say I sin. I do something that is wrong. I have two choices about how I want to. Well, I have a couple choices of how I want to deal with it. But usually, I either have to confront it or run away. And when I confront it, I can either go to God and say, like, look, God, I sinned. Please forgive me. Or you can say that it's all right. Like, look, I know I did this thing that's bad. But it's all right. And if you can, and the thing is that how we show it to ourselves, it says this over and over again in the Bible, is we try to get others to agree with us. You know what I mean? So, like, let me use an example. What?
Yeah.
Oh, what's your example?
Oh, no.
Oh, you want to be the example? Okay, so let's say, like, one that's big in America right now is, like, abortion. So people are like, abortion is wrong. Like, you're taking away a life. Does that make sense? So it's a tough situation. Like, it's a hard situation that the people are in. They have to deal with it. But the thing is like, look, if you want to confront it, you either hide from it or you have to confront it. If you want to confront it, you either have to say, like, you know it's wrong. I want to get right with God. Or you have to say, it's not wrong for me to do it. Does that make sense? So whenever we feel that way, we have to convince other people. Because if enough other people agree that it's right, we can put it right here. So what about sex? So, like, the thing is that, like, there's this idea that's going around that God doesn't care about sex. God created it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he's like, look, if you're married, I'm telling you, you need to be having sex. You need to do it all the time, and you shouldn't be stopping. Like, you should be doing it all the time, and you guys should be protecting each other from sin by doing it. And like that, he's like, look, this is a good thing. God approves of sex, but he approves of it in the context of marriage, which he intended it for. So then, here, it's like, oh, God is against sex. It's outside our fence. But it's okay if I have, if I'm sexual with my boyfriend or girlfriend, or if we have sex because that's how we feel. And that's what, that's because I really love that person. It's okay. Like, they view God about you being against it, but then they view it as being okay. Is that weird? I mean, do you guys see that? Same with lust. Like, we make, like, we say, like, oh, it's all right that I lust. It's just the way that we are. But then you ignore that, like, God actually is for this. Just you use it in the wrong context. So, let me get back to a little bit focused here. So, the reason why there's this weird sense of right and wrong isn't because, and the Pharisees, this law, they're not saying that you should follow this law because they want to follow the law. They don't want to say it's good enough because, like, they want to follow all these rules that God has in store. Like, they don't want to follow the law. They want to be justified by the law. Does that make sense to you guys? If it doesn't, let me know and I can explain a little better. But what they're saying is, like, look, I just want to be right. I don't want people to think that I'm doing wrong here. I don't want to myself think in my head that I'm doing wrong here. And we do that a lot. In Christ saying, like, look, this is not me. As much as it overlaps, as much as like, oh, look at all these good things I do. I'm not bad. I do all these good things. I help people. And I was nice to that one kid at school that nobody likes. And all stuff like that is enough. But it's not. The only thing that's enough is Christ sacrificing the cross. Like, it doesn't matter how good you are. If you don't have faith in this alone, it doesn't matter. So, and I'm not talking about being perfect. Look, we're all going to have sin. We're all going to mess up. But the point is that our fence is here rather than here. And that this is just okay. You know what I mean? Because our sin isn't okay. But the main point is that focus on Christ. So, now, there's one thing I want to talk about. Fruit. So some of you are like, well, I don't even know I fit on this. And here's the test to see what's going on. Because this is flesh. These justifications and lifestyles, it's flesh. And this right here, following God's will, is spirit. Alright? Joe was talking last week about flesh and following the spirit. Let's go back to Galatians. Verse 16 we're going to start at. We'll just do 16 to 21. Will someone read that? Isabel, do you read it? 16 to 21.
So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sin. They conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, selfish ambition, dissension, faction, and envy. Drunkenness inherits the kingdom of God.
Alright, so this thing, like, look, this is what it looks like of a life that has all the sin in it. Let me just, before we get into that too deeply, I just want to give you guys an illustration. When I was a little kid, our neighbor was growing these grapes. He just made this grapevine. It actually takes a couple years, if memory serves me correctly, for it to, like, go up the little, to have them form it around a little, there's this big structure he put. And he had the vines going in and out of it like this. And he made it just for the grapes. And it grows, and then eventually it starts making grapes. But it takes a lot of work. And basically, what he does, he spent all these years forming it and, like, taking care of it the right way and, like, making sure it gets the right amount of water. And it's like a really delicate plant. If you mess up and it's not a good plant, whenever the grapes come out, they're going to be gross. So eventually, or they might not even come. So, eventually, after all those years, he finally made the grapes come, and then we went and picked them and threw them at each other. And that was kind of messed up, and I realized how much work he put into it, thinking back on it. But the point is, thinking about this, it made me feel guilty when I thought about it. I was like, oh, I'm a jerk. But, the thing I want you guys to think about is, like, look how much time and effort he put into making those vines and making that grape plant grow and be formed correctly and make this fruit. But the thing is, no matter how much work he puts into it, he can't make it bear fruit. Does that make sense?
Yes.
He can do everything he can to put in a situation to bear fruit, but he can't make it bear fruit. He can't make the grapes come out of the vine. So he just sat there waiting and hoping for it to finally come after years and years of making them. And making them and spending all that time. Fruit is the same way with us. You can spend your time trying to make decisions. You can try to live your life for God. You can live your life for yourself. You can try to form your life in a certain way. And based on that, you'll bear fruit. And fruit isn't the stuff that you force yourself to do. It's not like, nobody likes Chris, so I guess I'll be nice to him. As much as that would be nice. But it's about actually, like, whenever it overflows, that's what happens. So, like, whenever talking about these, like, sexual immorality, these are the works of the flesh are evident. Now, these works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality. Oh, flesh. And then he puts in flesh. It fits our thing better. Sexual. There you go, flesh order that way. Sexual immorality, idolatry, jealousy. Anger. Envy. Drunkenness. Alright, so I just wrote a couple of them down. The thing is that these will, if we can live for the flesh in this way, with our eyes on our own flesh, seeing about what we care about, and thinking of, like, trying to find this line, like, oh, well, I look good, I mean, I don't do drugs, but, you know what I mean? So, like, trying to find some line and saying, like, that's good enough. And justifying ourselves based on that, and living that way. The thing is like, just like, we'll be forming ourselves in such a way that when we bear fruit, it'll be fruit like this. So not in the forced moments, but in the unguarded moments, what really comes out in your mind and in your heart? When you're really not guarding your actions and guarding what you say, whenever, like, it's just flowing out, does anger and jealousy come out? Does sexual immorality come out? Does lust? Envy? Is that what naturally comes out? And guess what? If you're not purposefully working towards God, that is what's going to come out. These things that are listed here, that's the fruit that you are going to bear. So let's just read the next section, 22 through 26. Will someone read it? Okay, I'll just read it then. Oh, did someone raise their hand? Oh. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Sorry, it's a song. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. These are the fruits of the Spirit. So, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Yeah, I'll just write a couple. So, see, the thing is whenever whenever we apply all this stuff that we're talking about, all the stuff that Joe's been talking about, all the stuff we've been working towards this year, getting plugged in, spending time with God, letting Him impact your life, that is living by the Spirit. When we form our life around that, when that's what our focus is, this will come out. All these traits, patience, kindness, joy. If you're just like, That doesn't happen for me. My reaction when someone does me wrong isn't peace. It's anger. And like, dude, I saw you ride a motorcycle, and that's what you do. Like, I know. We're not all perfect. I'm working on it. So. What? I didn't almost hit you. I had a green light. So. You could have been another person with a beard and a Harley jacket, too. So. You're just like, some of you are like, that is not my instant reaction to things. I don't feel joy when things bad happen to me. My reaction to people that do me wrong isn't love. Who falls in that category? Even just a little bit. I know, I'll raise my hand. The answer to that is just like that guy who grew the grapes. You have to take care of how you live your life. And that will change. It's a fact. It's not. He's like, look. Right, that's it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and faithfulness. Like, that is the fruit of the Spirit. If you're living in the Spirit, this will always come out. And like, look. Some of you are like, whenever we talk about like evangelism and outreach, you're like, well, you're trying to live a Christian life. And what some people, and even sometimes myself included, like, what we view that as is trying to do good. Like, oh, I try to help people. I try to not do the bad things. And we see, like, that is me living out my faith. But this is what it really looks like. Whenever the overflow of our heart looks like these fruits of the Spirit, people notice. That's when people see God's work in your life. Because that's not our instant reaction. Our instant reaction are these things. We all know it's true because we all struggle with that. We all, like, our instant reaction are like anger and envy and jealousy and lust. And that's our instant reaction to things that we experience in the world. Does that make sense? You guys identify with that?
Yeah.
At least as a struggle? And the thing is that, like, as we focus on Christ, He changes us and forms us to look like this. And this is what it means. Living by the Spirit, this is what it means whenever we're living like Christ. This is what it means when we're showing Christ love and being a light to the world. Because people can't help, if that's your instant reaction to things, is love and gentleness and self-control. Self-control, that's not my instant reaction to things. But when it is, people are like, whoa. What just happened? That is not how you respond to situations like this. Because this is how you respond to situations. And then some people see people respond like this to situations, they're like, what is going on? This is how we really make an impact to the world. We start living out God's love because we let Him take control of our lives. But it's submitting. It's like, look, God. So some of you right now are like, look, God, this is how I respond to situations. This is how I really am. What do you do about it? We have to go to God and be like, look, God, I'm willing to sacrifice the things that I feel are good enough and the things that I feel are important that I know aren't in this box. Not that God's in a box, but like aren't in this God's will. And saying, look, God, I'm willing to submit that stuff to you and try to strive after this. Try to strive after your will so that I can live in a way that I exude love and I exude joy and I can exude peace so I can make an impact for people who don't know you. Because we all know what happens when people don't know Christ and they die.
Yeah, hell.
Yeah, they're eternally separated from God. And hopefully that bothers you. Hopefully whenever you say, like, what? Is that what's going to happen to my best friend? Is that what's going to happen to the people that I see on the streets every day? Hopefully that bothers you. But our response needs to be, so we start following the Spirit and following the things that God wants for us, so that we can impact people. Because this is what a changed life looks like. This is not what a natural life looks like. And look, it's not all going to happen all the day. You're not going to look like all of these things. You're just like, Dave, you don't look like a lot of these things too. Okay, that's true. But to be compared to what I used to be, I look a lot more like these things. Does that make sense? The people that used to know me are like, Dave's a lot different. People know me now are like, Dave, you're a little weird. That's okay. Weird isn't on the bad list.
Weird.
Woo! Raise your hand if you're weird and like it.
Yeah.
I saw it John Andrew. Just kidding. Oh, yeah, I did see it. All right. So does anyone have any questions? I went over like a little bit of stuff. And some of it might have been confusing, so please, if you really are confused about something, please ask and don't be embarrassed. We will barely make fun of you about asking a question.
Barely.
Hardly at all mock you.
Alright.
So, we'll just check and see. Okay, let's see everything. Okay. So let me pray for us. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your word, that we can really know you, Father, and that we can have the Holy Spirit to help guide us to know you. And I just pray, especially over the next 2 weeks, where we have a break and break time, that we just spend some time, that each and every one of us, no matter where we're at, that we spend some time saying, look, God, I want to be more like you. I want to show your love to the world. Please change my heart. God, I pray that we can really get to know you better over the break, and that we can really make an impact for your kingdom and changes that will affect eternity. And I pray that you give everyone safe travels so they go where they're going for Chinese New Year. And for those who are staying, that you'll watch over and protect them as well. And I pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.